We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey,
hey man.
Thank you guys for jumping in. Mike's off today. John Freaky's in. We're talking with you about the debacle that happened yesterday. Worst loss in a decade, 30-0 embarrassing loss to the Carolina Panthers. And as we have moved through the day, I want to restate a couple of things before we dive into what Coach Raw said to us today. And I mean us as in the fan base and the media and explaining some of the things that we're all wondering about. This team was not ready to play yesterday. That's coaching. The quarterback was timid. He was not confident. That's coaching. The offense is dysfunctional and has no flow to it. You want to say it with me? That's coaching. Disconnect from Penix to Darnell Mooney, who's supposed to be our big explosive playmaker down the field. Coaching. Special teams underachieving and making dumb mistakes. Coaching. Missed field goals. Parker Romo. Well, find a kicker, which they're going to do. And then you talk about the clock management. The clock management, say it with me, is coaching.
Coaching, I know.
All of this, guys, gets back to, for me, one fundamentally foundational thing. It's not all on Michael Penix. He did not play well yesterday. There's no debating that. But when you start talking about the simple things all of a sudden becoming hard, you're talking about taking a timeout, coming out of a timeout and getting a delay of game, and then you don't get a first down. Then you're talking about not scoring in the red zone. Wait a minute. We didn't even get into the red zone. These things have to be fixed. So today, John, here's a couple of things that Ross said, and then we will address this. 404-726-0929. Just get in your car, however you're accessing the show. Thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show. We want to hear from you. We're working through all of this today because we're all confused. Everybody's like, what the hey is going on? Here's what Ross said about accountability for pass catchers. Specifically Darnell Mooney, who dropped two yesterday. And they just don't look like they're on the same page when Penix is, in fact, throwing to Mooney. Here's Coach.
There's no doubt about it. You know, you double down on that stuff with your wideouts. You know, that's the group that Mike's going to lean on the most, right? And I think that group, for a couple of different reasons, they're highly accountable. You got some stand-up guys in that room, whether you're talking about Drake, you're talking about Mooney, you're talking about those guys that lead that room. They'll be able to go out and figure out what he needs, how he needs it, and when he needs it, and be able to give it to him. And we'll require those things to go on, and Mike will require those things to go on, and you further branch that communication to try to leap that thing ahead so you can have that kind of communication that you have with those veteran quarterbacks. You know, being a young quarterback, you don't want to make those excuses, but you want to have the ability to go out there and try to foster that relationship and get those guys going a little bit faster. You know, those things have been going around a little bit. You know, you've seen Kyle Pitts get better. You've seen Kyle Pitts be able to foster that relationship, and now we need to do that across the board even a little bit more.
He's talking about Mooney and whatever disconnect is going on. He also addressed that he's confident Penix will bounce back. For those who missed it yesterday, after the game, Coach Ross said there will be no competition between Penix and Kirk Cousins. He was pulled in the game yesterday. It was 27-0, and I agreed with Coach on this. No reason to have him out there. This wasn't going anywhere. You pull him. But he also said there will not be a competition. So today, he talked about how confident he is that Michael Penix is going to bounce back.
He's our guy, man. Like, and you're going to have these games. And, like, you don't want to have him a lot, but you're going to have him. You don't want to have him in that fashion when everything's spiraling around you, right? He's going to have that game sometimes, and somebody's going to pick you up. And you're going to be able to get out of that game, and you're going to be thankful to your other teammates that picked you up. So when this happens again, we got to be able to bounce around because it could, you know, got a quarterback in the back that has happened to, and like, you know, those things can happen. But I got a lot of confidence that he's going to bounce back and ready to deal. I've seen him have a bad practice. You know, that's the first time we got to see him have a bad game.
It is. We saw him have a bad game. 404-726-0929 is the number. One more thing, John, and then I'll let you go. Raheem Morris, some people called in today. Some people have hit me up and said, I didn't like his demeanor after the game, shaking and dapping guys up. I thought that was just too loosey-goosey. So you want to know if he's extremely frustrated about how they played and whether he's ticked off or PO'd like we are, because we are? Here's what he said.
It was extremely frustrating yesterday, Zeno. You know, I would be an absolute liar to tell you that wasn't frustrating yesterday. So to see that happen at that level was extremely frustrating. To see what happened, we went through the losing streak last year, it was extremely frustrating. So those are the two that I'll talk about. You know, those moments when you know you're capable of being better and you know you're capable of your team being better are extremely frustrating, for sure.
The big news today is that the OC, Zach Robinson, is moving from the booth to the field. And the reason,
no, that'll fix it.
And the reason is because there were times yesterday, but this has happened the first few weeks, where our quarterback is sitting by himself and there is no communication and nobody addressing what's going on. It's not like he's on an old school telephone talking to the guy upstairs. So they're going to try to get better communication between, of course, the OC and the quarterback. I don't know if that helps because I think offensively the philosophy and what we're trying to do is just not working. John, where are you?
The one thing that Ross said, okay, spiraled. It spiraled on him. Whose fault is that? Again, that's your fault, Ra. That's Zach's fault that it spiraled on him because you're not putting him in a position to win. And I know that Mark Zeno thinks it's hyperbole, and it's fine that I'm saying that the season's on the brink, that it's three games in and the season's on the brink. I'm saying if you don't go out and win this week and you're 1-3 going into the bye week and suddenly Tampa's 4-0 and you're playing from behind, how much confidence do you have that this is going to ignite when you still are not on the same page? Now, apparently they have decided that to get on the same page, because again, this comes out, we all know certain things are true, okay? This is a fact. I can tell you, the Monday morning meeting at 9 a.m. this morning, Carl, and Arthur Blank said, yes, you're all responsible, how are you going to fix it? And they looked at him and said, well, we're going to bring the OC down on the field. And Mr. Blank, yeah, that's it, that'll do it. It better work, because why didn't you think about that after the Minnesota game when you went into the red zone and kicked a bunch of field goals and didn't get touchdowns? What was going on then? You're just figuring this out now. It's like they're always late on the draw. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Whole franchise.
Yep.
They're always behind the curve. And again, I understand that some people are going to agree, disagree with me. That's fine. Just my opinion. And Mark Zeno's got his opinion. You got yours. I think this season is really kind of in flux right now. You can't let this get away from you. And the I don't want to hear that he's coming out on the field. What I want to hear that they wouldn't say, or I better see this week, is that they're going to put him in a better position to win by slowing his clock down, by not having a situation, by running the football. When Tyler Algier runs one time and Bijan runs 13 times and you have the best running back room in the NFL against one of the worst teams in the NFL and you run the ball 14 times with those guys, you're not putting that guy in a position to win.
404-726-0929 is the number. What's bugging you the most? I've been asking you all day. We've gotten some great responses. Maybe you haven't had a chance to chime in. Let it out. 404-726-0929. We got to get a lot of stuff corrected. And if we can't, heads are going to roll. It's that simple. And here's my thing, John. And we got to dive into this a little bit deeper.
Okay.
What if Zach Robinson isn't the guy to develop Michael Penix?
Well, that's why I said Matt Ryan earlier in the show. If he's bettering, again, bring two into the office. If you're Josh Blank, bring two into the office and say, what would you do? You know how this works. Better than him. You're in the Ring of Honor, for crying out loud. You took us to a Super Bowl, on your fault, and somebody makes a block. This guy knows how to do this. Why not? Matt, this is an emergency. I think we're going to have everybody like Mark Zeno, who thinks that it's too early right now. If we get dusted by Washington going into the bye week saying, oh, we got to do something now. I'm like, yeah, how about last week?
Yeah.
We're always behind the curve.
You want to add something to this?
Yeah, if you're going to call Matt Ryan in, then fire Raheem Morris. Because that means you
that's
don't
fine
trust.
By me.
I mean, just that you don't trust the vision that your coaching staff has. At some point,
yeah,
but
that's fine. That's fine by me.
The trust has to be in the guys that you have right now doing this. Because John,
I'm good.
Here's the point though: if you bring Matt in and you don't have Raheem, you're not hiring Matt as your coach. What if the next coaching staff comes in and doesn't want Matt Ryan talking to the team the way that he did with Raheem Morris? You don't want to bring that guy in to sow any kind of discord to what you have already in here, because you know what that
is? Well, but if you hired Matt as the OC, if you hired him as the OC, you hire him as the OC, you could just name him the head coach. Albrecht's not going nowhere.
You think Matt wants to be the head coach? You think Matt wants to be the OC?
I don't know. Beats the hell out of me. I'm just saying I'd talk to him.
Just saying, when
at
you
least
start,
get his thoughts.
When you start consulting the outside opinions of guys
who
are not on the football team, that
he's
is dysfunction.
Okay, he's Matt frickin' Ryan.
Well, is he employed by the team right now, though, John?
Well, he's mentoring Michael Penix, so he has some agreement with the team.
Is he getting a paycheck currently from this football team?
I don't know that.
For consulting work.
Are we still paying him? Just joking.
Look, I'm just asking for anything here.
Well, yes, you're trying to fix a problem that we're saying, let's just throw everything at the wall, right? That's what you're saying.
At least it's something. As opposed to what? Oh, we're going to bring the OC down on the field?
Well, look. Here's the thing. Before we get to that, which we might, the way this is headed, okay?
Young Waiku is our new kicker?
You've got to figure out whether the guy that is in charge can solve the problems. Okay? That's what you have to figure out.
And what's your level of trust in that,
well,
Mr.
Jones? So here's the thing. Last year was a different set of problems that weren't solved in time that saved the season.
You mean they waited too long?
Now you have a different set of problems that you have to allow him to figure out, along with his staff, to see if they can solve the problems. John, where you're at, we may get there. But that's what has to happen right now. And in this process of allowing them to figure it out and maybe showing up Sunday and playing way better than they did last week against the Commanders and showing up and giving us a sense that, hey, we're going to be all right. You have to allow them to solve it. And if he can't, and it's not going to take long. This isn't John, this isn't 6 weeks from now. This isn't going to take long for us to figure out whether they can solve it. We're coming back.
It's called false positive. Keep that in mind.
Well, look, you got to give me something. We scored points.
All I'm doing is venting. That's all.
Well, me too.
I'm not trying to be rational here. I'm just trying to be emotional.
Well, you're being emotional. I'm emotional. I think we all are. But there is a side to this where you say, hey, Ra and company, can you figure this out? And if you can, you got to show us.
Yeah.
And that is the part we got to wait to see. All right, we're coming back with your phone calls. What's bugging you? What's the biggest thing? Big news today, and it is, because, again, it's a change of approach. But why are you changing the approach? There's a reason why they've made this decision. All right, 404-726-0929. We're talking about the OC going down on the field. One of the things that Ross said today in his presser, Falcons lose 30 to nothing against the Carolina Panthers in a division game yesterday. John's in for Mike. We're coming back. Plenty of your calls here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All the stuff that's happened with this team, specifically this weekend, it just felt like we were not prepared for what was going to happen. And that gets back to quarterback play and all the things that we've been talking about. But offensively, if we can all agree on one thing, and I know everybody wants to say there's different things and this is, you know, what's going on with our football team. We can all agree. Let's just all shake our heads, no matter where you are right now. Offensively, we are broke. Can we all shake our heads on that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
John, give the stats one more time, and then I'm going to take some phone calls. Three touchdowns? Three?
Three touchdowns this year, one of which, as the caller rightly pointed out, was a gimme. Three touchdowns, none to wide receivers, none to tight ends through three games. They're 31st in the NFL in scoring at 14 grand points a game. And, of course, they didn't even get into the red zone last week. Forget about anything else. You know, one quick thing here. Remember, when I start spouting off, and I'm just speaking for me here today, okay?
Yeah.
All right, when I start spouting off, when it comes to my relationship with the Falcons or with the Braves or my teams, okay, I'm the wife, all right? Because you know how, you guys out there know, if you're having an argument or a debate about your wife is like, you want to talk about what's going on right now, okay, this is where we're at right now, and the wife's like, yeah, but 7 years ago, right, you know, you did this, you know, on a Thursday in October 7 years ago, and that means, and you're like, no, that has nothing to do with it. And in her mind, it's like, yes, it does, because it's all tied together. That's how I am. I'm like, you know, the last time we played in a playoff game, Jalen Walker had just gotten his learner's permit, okay?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, so it's all tied together. It's one soup here, all right? And so I have no way to be anything but emotional about this because I can't take this anymore. This was supposed to be the breakout. You guys had all offseason to get this guy ready, and you look unprepared, and the same things are cropping up again. No. No. I'm going to go pack a suitcase. I'm out the door. I mean, that's how I feel.
I think there are Falcon fans who certainly feel that way as well. I don't know if I've been as frustrated with this team in a very long time with the performance that they gave yesterday. But here's what's crazy. They have the ability to right the ship. They have the ability to make me and you and everybody else believe that was just one hella bad game. And now we're going to move this thing in the right direction. But there's got to be
That's his problem. I can't get over that. That might be systemic.
Well, if it
is. That's my problem.
But that's the thing. John, we're going to figure this. We're going to find out fairly quickly. If you don't show up Sunday, we got a problem. And I'm being serious. Like, we don't need to wait 3 Sundays from now. We don't need to wait until we go overseas, okay? If you don't show up Sunday, we've got a problem. Let me talk to Mike and Marietta who wants to jump in here. Mike, thanks for being patient, man. What's bugging you about this team right now?
Well, I think we need to go back to what Dan Reeves did with Michael Vick. Michael was a rookie. He cut down the playbook so that man eased Michael into it every week to give him more and more so that Penix becomes comfortable. And then secondly, Rain, show me some emotion. I'm tired of seeing chewing that damn gum on the sideline and not getting upset about things when things go bad. And that's all I got to say, guys. Thanks. Yeah,
appreciate it. Appreciate it. Look, and we'll dive into this a little bit more tomorrow. I'm just telling you, and I was having this conversation with Z. Zeno called in earlier. He was at the press conference and was talking about, you know, Ra's demeanor and what he was talking about in responding to some of these questions in regards to what happened yesterday. The reality is where we are right now, okay, you go back to last year and you look at the development of Kirk Cousins in this particular offense. And remember, I don't know if you guys watch this or not. You guys watch the quarterback doc, right? You watch that on Netflix? There was a part this year where Cousins was saying that the offense was, you know, at times he was like, it was a lot, okay? And that's a 13-year vet. And he said this on this quarterback's doc. This was during the summer or whatever. And he was like, yeah, it was a lot to take in, but, you know, we got it. And then they fast forward and show, like, the first motion of the season against the Steelers where they fumble. And he's like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. The point I'm getting to is that Michael Penix doesn't have 13 years in, okay? He is 6 games in now after Sunday. And this nurturing of our quarterback and developing him into whatever he's going to become, and I think he's got enormous talent, that's got to be done the right way, man, or we're going to lose out. And I'm not talking about us. I'm just saying the fan base, that the organization, it's not going to be what you think. And that is why I think, John, when we start talking about whether this thing gets right, whether we're running the right plays, whether the calls or whatever the hell we're going on, the philosophy, is he the guy, and Zach Robinson, to develop this and get him to the next step? There are steps in this. There are levels to this, Trey Young. There are levels. You've got to continue to move up. And that is the concerning thing for me where you go, all right, well, this didn't look too great last year. What's it going to look like now? What's it look like? What's it look like?
Well, a conspiracy theorist could say Sean McVay trades his number one pick to the Falcons so the Falcons could take James Pierce Jr. And what he's banking on is that the pick next year will be higher than, what was it, 26, I think? That it'll be a higher pick because he's saying, look, I know Zach Robinson, and Zach Robinson's system is way too damn complicated. If they're going to start Michael Penix, that's not going to go well, you know? And so he's gambling on that. And I'm not saying you have to dumb it down because Michael's not smart. What you have to do is you have to play to Michael's long suit. It's like anything else. You can't force him to be something he's not.
Well, that I
agree.
You can't just say,
this is my playbook, run it. And that's what moving him down to the sidelines doesn't change the fact that they're going to have to figure out a way to simplify this, to put him in a position to win, and they have not done that. And they couldn't do that. They couldn't even see that after they were so blinded by the Minnesota game that they didn't realize that was an issue.
I don't know. I mean, look, I think, and by the way, tomorrow on the show, we'll have Dave Archer, analyst for Atlanta Falcons. Looking forward to talking with Arch about a lot of this stuff. Here's the part we don't know. And then we're going to take some more phone calls. Is Mike seeing what he needs to see? Is he seeing what he needs to see?
No. The video from Myles Garrett shows – Myles Garrett, reporter, not the football player. How many times do we have to see Kyle Pitts is running free downfield?
Wide open.
Not once, not twice, three times, four times. Because they're bringing the safeties up to deny – to bring the linebackers up to try to take Bijan Robinson out of the game.
All right, so John,
and the problem is,
if that's the case,
Penix doesn't have he's not being able to look off to see guys running free because he's too close to the line of scrimmage. I don't know for whatever reason. And again, what you have to design something. If it's automatic rollouts, if it's running misdirection, you've got to design stuff to help your quarterback here.
Oh,
you can't
no doubt.
just You just can't just say, here's the playbook, run it, and if you're not running it, it's your fault.
Okay, but if that's the case and he's not seeing what he needs to see, and I think that was evident in the – there's just a bad pick six, but that was like a microcosm of like, oh, then whose job is it to make sure he's seeing what he needs to see?
Oh, that would be Zach Robinson.
Zach Robinson. Swede in Rome, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Swede, what's going on, man? How are you feeling about this team?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
It isn't even close and no cigar. But here's my feelings. I'll keep it simple with three things. Coaching, game and time management. Kicking, which they should have figured out before the season began, not being doing tryouts now. And execution. I mean, how do you not get into the red zone even once? These are my concerns. I would say coaching at the very top and followed closely by kicking. The rest, the execution can take care of itself.
It's all coaching. I mean, everything you're talking about, Sweet, is coaching.
It's all coaching. That's what it is. All right. Thanks, guys. Like your show.
Thank you so much, Sweet. All right. Is Tinker there? Let's take Tinker. Is he still there? Let's grab Tinker. Tinker, what do you think, brother?
Hello. Can't believe this communication. Learn sign language. Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, if I gave those kind of excuses they've been given, my parents would have knocked my teeth so far down my throat, I'd have to pull my pants down to chew my food. I cannot believe this. Just do your job. If you had a coworker getting paid, you know, not doing the job correctly, they're going to take you off. Just do your job at the end of the day. Make it happen.
Appreciate you, Tinker. Frustration's real.
Oh, yeah.
Frustration's real. Yeah. It's real.
And by the way, legit.
That is true, too, my friend. We're coming back. By the way, we've got Monday Night Football tonight here on the station. Pre-game starts at 7, kicks at 8:15. Before that, you want to hear what Raheem Morris thinks? Stay tuned. The coaches' show's coming up, 6 o'clock. Tonight, the player guest is Caden Ellis. By the way, if you were going to say anything was good yesterday, Caden Ellis had a really good game. Now, it didn't matter in the big scheme of things, but he actually played really well. He's the player guest tonight on the coaches' show. It's Dukes and Bell. Couple more things from Raheem Morris today as he spoke to the media. Front and center is getting this offense fixed, playing better across the board. But the defense, and again, we're not focusing a lot on it because that's not the issue. We're not scoring points. And when you get shut out for the first time, what'd you tell me, John? 55 years?
No, here it is. The last team to outgain their opponent by over 100 yards, which the Falcons did yesterday, 108 yards actually, lose by more than 30 points and get shut out in the same game. Last time that happened, 55 years ago. 55 years ago. Dolphins shut out by the Colts, 1970.
Good yeah. news, though, the Dolphins finished undefeated 2 years later and won the Super Bowl. So.
Oh, great. You mean I have to wait 2 more years? Good.
Steps
wonderful.
Up,
yeah, thanks.
Oh, you say we're going to go undefeated, you know, huh? 2028.
You know, so, I mean. So Jalen had his learner's permit when we announced him, he'll be getting retirement the next time, Social Security.
It's so crazy. And if you're driving home right now, and I know many of you, I get texts and tweets and all kind of stuff. I'm glad you guys are with me because the coaching aspect of this is so important in the NFL. And look, Bill Belichick's not doing a damn thing at UNC, but when he said years ago, coaching matters, he was absolutely right. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you're the best player on your team and all of that stuff. At the end of the day, the direction and the coaching of what you need to do and how you work together as a team, it just matters. And this is why Andy Reid's Andy Reid, okay? It's why the top echelon coaches of this league are who they are. Let me ask you something, John. Do you believe in the Chargers? You believe in them?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, they're going to have to prove it to me at the end of the year, but let me answer it this way. The Vikings took a quarterback that I thought was dead, Carson Wentz, and scored 48.
Yep.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is suddenly Indiana Jones. That's what they're calling him.
Yeah.
You know, with the Colts. And the Commanders took Noodle Arm Quitter and 41 with that dude? Pop-up fly ball, that guy? Yeah, coaching matters.
Coaching matters. I'm going to tell you I believe in the Chargers because of Harbaugh. That this is what he does. He's done it everywhere he's gone. This is what he does. That is going to be a playoff team this year. And the crazy thing is, as you talk about our next opponent, which we'll dive into, we'll be up at Flower Branch on Wednesday and have our conversation with Coach. This Commanders game is big. It feels big already. It was big before we lost the way we did, but now that we've lost the way we did on Sunday, it feels even bigger.
What do you think Dan Quinn wants more than anything else on Sunday? You know what he wants? He wants to hear boos rang down. He'll have a big old grin if he hears boos rang down. He'll be like, yeah, take that. Mm-hmm.
The game last year was pretty big, though, up there. They needed it as much as we did. It was a big game.
Because we didn't have a kicker.
Well, we still don't, apparently. Two things that we need to fill you in on. One, while we're joking, Raheem Morris did say that they will bring in some more kickers and there will be more competition this week.
Oh, yeah.
Two, Zach Robinson is moving from the booth up top to come down to the field. And, oh, let's play that soundbite again for our listeners who just tuned in. Raheem Morris and the benefits of having Zach Robinson be on the field. I said this to Day-Day, our executive producer, and Big O behind the glass. I said last week or this Sunday, yesterday, there were moments where they would show Michael Penix and he was just by himself. And I'm like, nobody's talking to him? There's nobody instructing him? There's nobody looking at
him? He was pitching a no-hitter. You can't blame him.
Well, here's the deal, though. There's nobody looking at a pad and saying, hey, here's what I'm seeing. So whatever communication or lack thereof that there has been, let's hope that gets resolved. And by the way, as PO'd as I am right now, John, we still got to go win some games. We still got to find a way. So I am totally over here today because this is where I've been all day yesterday and it just carried over. But damn it, we got to find a way to go win some games. So I'm hoping they get all of this corrected and figure it out. I am not sitting here rooting against my team and saying I hope they don't figure this out. But to John's point and to what many of you have been saying today, can they? Will they? Do they have the answers to get this figured out? That's really where we're at right now, and it's only week four. Let me hear Rod talk about the benefits of Zach being on the field.
I think it's just communication that Zach can, you know, kind of get across down in the field. You know, that's how we practice. That's how we do our walkthroughs. That's how we do every single thing on the field. Those two got a great relationship, you know, out in the practice field, out in the game day, out on everything. So, like getting them closer to the action, getting them closer to the environment. Getting them closer to the play caller, getting them closer to all those guys, being able to get the reactions and get a feel for what the temperament is on the grass as well. I think all would be helpful, and that will happen. That happened today throughout our process.
Okay. So look, we're going to have to see that. We can talk about this. We will not know until Sunday if there's significance to this or not, or even the following Sunday. Actually, we're off the fifth week of the season, which is the bye, which is what John was talking about, getting to the bye. And if you wanted to make more changes, you potentially could. And look, if they show up, there won't be any changes. But if they don't and you get a lackluster performance on Sunday, then you're going into the bye week with even more questions. And that's what I don't want, John. I don't want to head into the bye week and we got even more stuff that we're still trying to figure out. We should not be here at this point in the season. It shouldn't be playing out this way.
I mean, you know, those questions of the bye week are going to be like, who's the head coach? Who's the offensive coordinator? Who's the special teams coordinator? I mean, those kind of questions. Yeah. I mean, that's because I got to tell you, I think that my read, and Mark Zeno's right, he's rationally was there, but my read on this whole thing with Zach Robinson coming down from the box is that came out of the 9 a.m. That wasn't discussed in some coaching. That was with Mr. Black.
I agree.
9 a.m. How are you going to fix this? And, well, we're going to take Zach. They were meeting at 6 a.m. What if we took you out of the box? Oh, okay. We'll tell Mr. Black that. So, you know, I mean, because I think Mr. Blank looked at them and either expressly said or directly said, you better fix this right now, this week, or heads are going to roll. This time next week, you're not going to like what you hear in this office.
Well, and you know what? He's right. If, in fact, he said that, and he probably did.
Probably did.
I hope he did say that there's got to be some consequences, Day-Day, Big O, to things people do. There have to be consequences. When there are lack of results or you screw up or you do something. And at the end of the day, that's where we're at. This is a results business. And so I hope he did say that. But they will have a chance to do that. All right. As we're talking about all the things, there are a couple of things I do want to mention today. One of them, and we've spent and rightfully so. A lot of time on the Falcons tomorrow. Dave Archer's going to join us. Cynthia Friedman from NFL Network's joining us. Or Freeland, excuse me, jumping on the show. And I'm thinking of somebody. Oh, Connor Riley is also going to be on the show tomorrow. So make sure you tune in. Dogs, Bama, big game coming up Saturday as we'll start to give you our preview. But today, John, got to mention this because we know we got a lot of Auburn alums. There are more Auburn alums here in Atlanta than anywhere else. Bruce Pearl retiring 42 days out from its season opener. So it comes as a surprise to a lot of people, but apparently Bruce Pearl's son, Stephen, is it Stephen? His son's going to take over. And Bruce Pearl is going to remain as an ambassador for Auburn and the basketball program. But Bruce Pearl's been rolling. They've been deep in the tournament. He's done a terrific job. He's 65 years old. And, recently.
I heard somewhere that the part of this is that he might run for Somerville's Senate seat.
Senate, yeah. So
I guess if you want to be a U.S. Senator from Alabama, the route to go is
coach.
Just become an Auburn head coach.
Yeah. So that is out there as well, that Pearl did indeed strongly consider running for the open Senate seat in Alabama. But we don't know. I don't know at this point, and I can't report that's going to be the situation. But the fact that he's not going to be head of the basketball program, his son is taking over. And again, the news, the timing of this is kind of interesting. He had all offseason to kind of contemplate this, and they're counting down to the start of the season. But they've got a plan, and he shared a long video, an Auburn did today, talking about it's time. And so it's out there if you want to see it and if you're an Auburn fan, but that's basketball, that's hoops, and obviously he's done a terrific job. So did want to mention that, one of the stories that we did not have a chance to talk about because of all the things that are going on with our Falcons today. Big shout out, by the way, to the guys. I know it's been crazy today. Day-Day and Big O, thank you so much. And John, I want to give you a big shout out, man. Thanks for jumping in. Appreciate you being here. It's been fun and a great conversation in regards to the Falcons. How much confidence? I'm asking you this now on Monday. How much confidence do you have that we are going to show up and play much better on Sunday? Do you have
They're going to play better, and it should be a pretty good game. Well, whether they win it or not, let's put it this way: if they don't, I can't imagine that. Right? They're gonna, right?
Wait a minute! You just said they were.
Are you asking us, John? Or are you telling
where are you
us?
At?
I don't know. I don't have any damn idea.
Of course there are. I am not willing to tell you.
As a coach lost the team. I mean.
Well, no. I don't think that's the case. I don't, John. I don't. Listen, this comes down to, do you have the right people in place to get the job and the message across? And if they don't, well, those are the changes that are going to be made. He's not lost the team. These guys, we're up there. They're fine.
Well,
I will say this.
I don't mean that in terms of – I guess it's just a – what I'm talking about in terms of losing the team is, has he lost the momentum of the season, nothing personal.
Oh.
Has the momentum of the Minnesota game left them all – spending their entire week going, is this going to work?
You can argue,
they
though,
start questioning, you know what I mean?
The last two coaches that they fired here, Quinn and Arthur Smith, they never really, lost the team,
so
to speak.
No.
Things got a little bit stale,
I'm trying to kind of walk that back because I wasn't clear. I'm just talking about the momentum of the team. Have they lost, is there a lack of faith in leadership
this is going to work? That's interesting. And Arthur Blank would be the one to know that. I don't know if that's the case. I just know these bad losses leave a terrible taste in your mouth, and they do for a long time. You have to erase it with great performances and give the fan base a reason to say, okay, that was a blip. And that's what I mean. I cannot sit here on Monday as we get ready to get out of here. And by the way, we got Monday Night Football coming up. Detroit at Baltimore. Should be a great game. Pre-game at 7. Kicks at 8:15. Coach's show at 6 o'clock. Dave Archer with Coach. And then the player segment is going to be Caden Ellis. I cannot sit here today and tell you that I don't have major concerns.
Yeah, me too.
We'll see as the week goes along. John, great job. We got to get out of here, Big O. Let's clear our throat. All right. Thank you guys for chiming in. I know sometimes with these particular shows, when we come off of a loss like this, It's just like so frustrating. But that's why we're here. We're here to vent. We're here to talk to each other. We're here to work our way through it. Hey, don't forget, Thursday, we're going to have a special broadcast live from Loyal Tavern in Roswell. Ah, my backyard. We're going to be setting the stage for Thursday Night Football, looking ahead to a big college football weekend. So that's Thursday, guys, 2 to 6, Loyal Tavern in Roswell. Join us, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, John, we got to get out of the way, and we will hear what Coach Raw had to say on the Coach's Show coming up next. Clear your throat.
Yeah, to all of you, to Carl, to Dating, and Oren, thanks for this. I really appreciate it. It was a great day to be on. And I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get ahead of, you know, what I think is a coming car crash on Dead Man's Curve here. So I was a little emotional today, and if I got too emotional for you, well, sucks to be you. I don't know what to say. I'm just venting, dude. Sorry.
I hear you. Look, we all want to see our team succeed. We all want to be able to go to work or go work out or wherever it might be and say, hey, did you see the game? That wasn't the case today. But this is a chapter, one chapter. This isn't the end of the book. There's still a lot of chapters to read. I'm just hoping as we continue this book, it gets better and better, not worse. Hey, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't.
Well, the Falcons are holding tryouts for kickers.
Give up hope. Look at me. Dreams are for suckers.